Cindy Kozak. She is with the Connecticut Department of Public Health, Community, Family Health, and Prevention. And we are going to talk about something that I believe is very, very interesting. And I think you will agree with me once you hear Cindy. Cindy Kozak. Cindy, great to have you with us this morning. And we are going to be talking about something that affects many. We know that. And first of all, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Great to have you here. And what is actually pre-diabetes?
Yes, pre-diabetes is a diagnosis where the blood sugar is elevated, but it's not yet to the diagnostic level of diabetes. So it's a great opportunity to intervene in the efforts of prevention of type 2 diabetes.
Now, risk factors. Can we get into some of those? And we'll get to the blood pressure down the road. But when I was reading this, it fascinated me because I didn't realize, to tell you the truth, that everything was included that is included here.
Well, I hope other people are as interested because it's an important way to really stop this runaway train that we're seeing in our communities about pre-diabetes and diabetes. So thank you for having me on. And the risk factors are key. Some of them we can modify and some we can't. So there's a combination of factors. Age, as people get older, there's a higher risk, but we can't do much about that.
When we talk about age, what are we talking about?
We're really starting about age 40, 45. We're seeing people starting to increase their risk. So it's not like you have to be 65, 70. It's really starting in middle age. And a lot of that has to do with the other risk factors that are associated with our lifestyle, like a lack of physical activity and increasing weight. So there's a screening test at cdc.gov/diabetes, and it asks people about these risk factors, including, as we discussed, age, physical activity, blood pressure, we'll talk more about, race or ethnicity, because there are some ethnic groups that are at higher risk, including African Americans, Hispanics, Asian Pacific Islanders, and Native Americans. Also, women that have had a history of gestational diabetes or delivered a baby over 9 pounds in weight is another risk factor. That's all on the risk test at cdc.gov/diabetes.
You know, this is, it really is incredible, because I would say that there are a good many Americans that probably haven't even heard of some of this.
Well, you're right. Unfortunately, we know the numbers to be about 1 out of 3 Americans have pre-diabetes, 1 out of 3. But only 10% of those actually are aware of that. So we're happy to have these awareness campaigns and really want to get the word out, not only to people in the community, but also want to make sure that our medical community is appreciating this. So we're looking at both angles, because the other way to know if you have prediabetes besides the risk test is to get a blood test from your physician or healthcare provider. They will do either a fasting blood sugar or a 2-hour glucose tolerance test, or they can use something called the A1C, which is a 3-month average of blood sugar. So between the medical community and the community at large, we really want to increase awareness of this prediabetes to prevent the conversion over to type 2 diabetes.
Let me ask you something about the blood test. Now, there are people, I would assume, that as young people don't have that much to worry about when it comes to blood pressure. But I was wondering, as you get older, do you have more to be concerned about when it comes to your blood?
Are you referring to blood pressure here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so blood pressure, unfortunately, is another one of these kind of silent issues. There often are no symptoms. So there are new guidelines for blood pressure as of 2017. And really what the normal range is now less than 120 over 80. And then later on it progresses on to stage 1 and stage 2 hypertension or high blood pressure. So again, we're seeing the same kind of trends of these chronic diseases coming on earlier in life, not in the 50s and 60s, but really in the 40s, middle age. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're sitting so much and our nutrition could be much better. A healthier diet would help with both the blood pressure and the blood sugar because of the influences on a person's weight.
So then actually with blood sugar, from just what you have said in these few minutes, it's something that we really should look at and get taken care of.
Yes, get it addressed early because there's great work that's been done to show that type 2 diabetes can be prevented or delayed. So by intervening in this pre-diabetes range with lifestyle change programs, the results have been wonderful, a 58% reduction in the progression onto type 2 diabetes by a successful completion in these lifestyle change programs, which are throughout the state, and also online options are available.
Then really, when you stop to think of blood sugar or hear about blood sugar, this is something that you should be concerned of.
You should be concerned and also do something about, such that...
What can you do?
So the enrollment in these lifestyle change programs, they are offered at YMCAs, senior centers, some libraries have hosted them, healthcare providers, federally qualified health centers are providing these programs. It's a 16-week program to start, but then follows on for a full year of service, because we're really looking at making some major changes in lifestyle to lose about 5 to 7% of a person's body weight. And that seems to be the magic number to prevent the conversion of pre-diabetes onto type 2 diabetes. So we want to help people over the course of a full year of service to change what they're eating and how much they're moving. And the CDC and NIH, actually National Institute of Health, did the initial research and found a 58% reduction in the conversion to type 2 diabetes. But in the older folks, age 60 and over, it was a 71% reduction in that progression to type 2 diabetes. So you can teach an old dog new tricks, and we really were very impressed.
71%?
71%.
Wow.
That's not fooling around. So we're very happy about the results of the lifestyle change programs.
You know, just listening to you, and I've been reading about you, knowing that you were going to be on my program, I was just wondering, there is so much to really be concerned about, and it's all done with age.
Well, age and lifestyle, as we've discussed.
Well, lifestyle. When you say lifestyle, what do you mean?
So specifically for type 2 diabetes prevention, lifestyle change means lowering the fat content of your diet to achieve a lower calorie intake, and increasing physical activity to about 150 minutes of moderate level intensity per week. So that's about 30 minutes, 5 days a week. And that seems to be the magic number. Now, the program uses a lot of group dynamics to help people help each other. Another technique that's been shown to be very effective is the use of food logs and physical activity logs for people to track their progress. So it's been quite a comprehensive approach, and it's really gone very well.
Is there a difference between how it affects a man and how it affects a woman?
I can't break it down that to that level, but I will go back to that National Institute of Health survey or study that was done in the 90s. And that was a very impressive study because they had a diverse patient population. They had African-Americans and Hispanics and Caucasian, and it wasn't just the white male where a lot of research is done, but really a diverse population. So the ethnic groups were all wonderfully improved in that study.
You know, just listening to you, Cindy, I would think that right away you would have more concentration on what you eat and how much you eat.
That's exactly right. We need to lower that calorie intake, and a lot of simple changes can result in some big improvements. For example, eliminating fried foods, very concentrated source of calorie. Eliminating sugary beverages, another concentrated source of calories. So those are a couple examples. And I really shouldn't say eliminate, but decrease the consumption of, ultimately to get in less calories. And meanwhile, on the plus side is increasing the consumption of fruits and vegetables. Those are foods that fill people up and displace some of those other higher calorie.
You know, this is ironic.
How so?
Ironic that you're right about fruits and vegetables. I find myself, and I always loved fruits and vegetables, but I find myself eating more fruits and vegetables, and I get, you know, I've had enough to eat.
That's exactly the intent. The high fiber content of the fruit and vegetables really are helpful. So five a day is kind of the minimum. Some combination of five fruits and or vegetables a day is really the minimum. More is better. So thanks for the plug there.
No, but I mean, it's, again, you know, when you get information like this, like what I received knowing that you were going to be on my program, I said, wow, you really have to start thinking about everything.
Well, it's a good time of year, at least. The fruits and vegetables are coming in, so it's a nice time of year to make that change and continue it through the winter with frozen vegetables are equally fine.
And then there have got to be people that really could control this a great deal.
Well, that's the good news, that the conversion of pre-diabetes to type 2 diabetes is about 5 to 10% a year. And to stop that conversion is so important, because diabetes, once you get diabetes, you've got it. And the complications of diabetes are so serious, we really want to get the word out that you can intervene early to prevent type 2, because everyone knows someone with type 2 diabetes who has needed a dialysis treatment 3 days a week for 3 hours, or maybe lost a limb to neuropathy and lower extremity infections. Or the very serious complication we want to get out here is the cardiovascular disease. No one wants to go through an open heart surgery or have a stroke. Blindness is another serious complication of diabetes, as well as periodontal disease, people losing their teeth. So prevention of type 2 through early intervention can prevent or delay those horrible complications, as well as less high quality of life with type 2 diabetes. People don't have the same energy level when their blood sugars are high in type 2.
Cindy Kosek, yes, Connecticut Department of Public Health, Community, Family Health, and Prevention. Now, folks that are listening, and they are fascinated by this, and they're going to be, because it's things that we actually don't talk a great deal about. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, I would, again, echo that cdc.gov/diabetes website to take the risk test. It's right on the online, and people can get their score. If they score higher than 5, they really need to talk to their primary care healthcare provider. The other website I want to mention is CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, cdc.gov/heart disease, because of that intimate connection between diabetes and heart disease. The other way to find out more about programs, these lifestyle change programs, is to go to 211, call 211. They have a up-to-date listing of programs in Connecticut. 211 also has a website, ct211.org. So those are all great. The Department of Public Health website is also an option, dphct.dph.gov.
You know, this has been very, very, very interesting, and I just know that listeners will be very, very, to go to get this done. I mean, really, it's exciting and something that should be done right away.
I agree. Don't delay. Take that risk test and then follow up with 211 to find a program and or talk to your healthcare provider to get this addressed.
Well, I thank you so much, Cindy Kosak, my special guest. And again, you have the information where to get a hold of her and talk about this. And there's no question, we all should do this. And thank you so much, Cindy.
My pleasure.